Brian. Great singing, church. You may be seated. What a blessing. What a song. What truths that we have sung of our great Creator God, who is high and lifted up, who is majestic in every way. How we've reminded ourselves of our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. How we've humbled ourselves before Him. How we have thanked Him for the cross. How we have thanked Him for what He has accomplished on our behalf. The freedom that we have. For some of you, that was a brand new song. For others of you, you've known that song for a while, but what a great way to join together to worship our Savior, the one who has freed us, the one who has made us alive. Please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, verses 8 through 13 this morning. I want you to consider the last time that you felt like giving up. You were doing something, you felt like giving up, but you knew that you had to persevere. You knew that it was so important that you would endure, whatever it was. And maybe it was enduring, persevering through a strained relationship, maybe a friendship, or maybe a marriage, or maybe an estranged parent-child relationship, something, but you knew you had to endure. You knew you had to continue on. Maybe it was a tough situation at work, or maybe it was a health issue. Maybe it was some sort of a diet or an eating plan. It was tough, but you knew you had to persevere. Maybe it was running a marathon, or maybe a half marathon, or maybe just running a mile, just trying to persevere through the mile. What was it? There was something in your life. It was difficult, but you had to persevere. And now, what were some of the things that helped you to persevere? What were some of the encouragements that kept you moving in the right direction? Was it the encouragement from family and friends? Was it the thought of the negative connotations or negative consequences of giving in, of failing to finish? Maybe it was the abiding love of someone close to you that kept you going. Now look, if we're honest, we know that in times in life, we face difficulty. You know, we face trial, and sometimes we just want to throw in the towel. We just want to say, I can't do it anymore. We've been in 2 Timothy now for several weeks, and the Apostle Paul is writing to encourage Timothy to continue, to move forward, to persevere in his ministry, and to be loyal to the gospel, and to be loyal to Jesus Christ. To be loyal to Jesus Christ, and frankly, to be loyal to Him. Paul's saying, be loyal to me. Don't give up on me. Don't leave me. Don't be ashamed of me. This morning, as we anticipate the Lord's Supper, Paul is directing Timothy's attention, and he's directing our attention to Jesus Christ. He's calling us to remember Jesus Christ. Whatever we're facing, whatever situation it is, whatever trial, whatever difficulty we're facing, He is calling us, each of us, to remember Jesus Christ. Will you stand with me as we read together 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 through 13. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Will you pray with me? Lord, it is our desire right now to remember Jesus Christ, to fix our gaze and our attention on him, the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. The one who has gone before us, the one who has secured victory in his life, death, and resurrection. Our hope today is to find encouragement to be encouraged, and to persevere. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Remember Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Yeah, ministry's hard. Life's hard. You're facing difficulties. You're facing trials. There's all sorts of issues taking place all around you. But remember Jesus Christ. New Testament scholar Robert Yarbrough writes, "We remember Jesus Christ. We remember his suffering. Not even Jesus was exempt from suffering. He had to walk the way of the cross and taste death before he was exalted. Life's hard, but remember that our Savior, the one who has gone before us, the one who has secured our victory as we share in his victory, suffered. You're suffering, he suffered. Look to him, remember him, focus on him." Now, when we think about leadership, we think about those who are leaders. We get great respect for those who are in a leadership position who don't see themselves as high and almighty and above everyone below. Like, we want a servant leader. We want someone who's leading a business, you know, a lady who leads a business who is willing to get down and to mingle with and to serve with the employees, not someone who's just behind the door all the time thinking that they're so much better than everyone else. And this is Jesus. This is the one who is high and lifted up. This is the one who is exalted above all, but he humbles himself and he takes on the form of a servant and he dies on the cross for our sin. Remember Jesus Christ. I think of that great passage in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read of Jesus Christ, the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Right? Jesus endured the suffering. He endured the pain. He died on our behalf. And the author of Hebrews knows. He knows the struggle of following Jesus. That's why he notes this cloud of witnesses. That's why he directs our attention to gaze on Jesus, to see what he has done, who, for the joy that was set before him. And friends, there is joy that is set before us if we are in Christ. We follow him in the path of suffering, but yet we follow him in the path of life, and we follow him in the path of joy. And yes, this life can be cruel at times, but it will never be as cruel as it was to Jesus. The righteous one, the author of life, the perfect one, was murdered at the hands of sinners. The hands of sinners. In fact, Jesus, the Bible tells us, died in the place of sinners. We deserve the death that he died. But Jesus died in our place. Remember Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one in whom we hope. And recall that though Jesus suffered, we don't separate it from his victory. The second thing, remember Jesus' victory. Remember Jesus' victory, right? Notice again there as we read in 2 Timothy, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Now, this statement presupposes his suffering and his death. He was risen from the dead, and it reminds us that he is no longer dead. He is alive. He is the risen Savior, and our hope is built on this very fact, that Jesus has overcome sin and death forever. Jesus came, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, to destroy the works of the devil, that through his death, Jesus might, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, destroy the one who has the power of sin and death, or the power of death, right? Who is that? It's Satan. It's the devil. Friends, our sin renders us spiritually dead. As we comply with, as we give into our sinful nature, and as we long for that which is away from God's will, as departs from his will and his ways, we find ourselves under the power of Satan, right? Held by him in his clutches, and we remain under the wrath of God because of our rebellion. But Jesus, in the cross and the resurrection, makes the way of life. And through faith, we share in his victory. This is what we sang about. This is what we sang about. Though he died, he rose again. And in his life, we find life. This is when we began to live. This is when death was arrested. And it's all in Christ. This is our great hope. Through faith. Adopted into the family of God, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. This is the hope of verses 11 and 12 that we read there. This well-known statement at the time, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we shall also reign with him, right? If we die with him, if we spiritually die with him, die to sin, we're raised to life in Christ. Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6, right? We see this so clearly there. We'll live with him. We'll live forever with him. If we endure with him, right? We'll reign with him. If we remain trusting in Jesus, if we continue to hold fast our confidence which we had from the beginning, if we grasp him, if we remain loyal and faithful to him, church, that's why endurance is so necessary. I mean, the New Testament is filled with examples of those who did not endure, those who turned their back, those who apostatized. We think of Judas. We think of, here, as we even read in this passage, right? Phygellus and Hermogenes, and we'll get to Demas. We talked about these. Derek preached a sermon a few weeks ago, chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, pointing the way of shame and the way of faith, right? People throw away their trust. They make shipwreck of their faith because they no longer believe. They don't believe. But Paul goes on to say, if we deny him, he will also deny us. That word translated deny means to reject or to renounce. Right? Such people who deny, they looked the part for a period of time. They said the right things. Maybe they did the right things. But a spurious faith will not save anyone, friends. A spurious faith will not save anyone. Endurance matters. And here's the hope for the believer. Those who are genuinely in Christ will be kept by the power of God to the end. They will persevere. They will endure. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we won't have struggles. I'm not saying that life will be easy. Look at Peter. I mean, Peter, one of the 12, he denied Jesus 3 times as Jesus was going to the cross. He even swore to not knowing who Jesus was. But by God's grace, he did not fully turn. He did not reject Jesus completely. No, by God's grace, he was restored. He turned. He ran to Jesus. Friends, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What hope? What mercy? For Peter, for you, for me. Right? We struggle, but the promise is if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, yeah, but that's Jesus. I mean, he's God. Yeah, he struggled and he was victorious, but he was God. He was different than us. Well, notice what Paul writes to Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. Third, we need to remember Jesus' nature. We need to remember Jesus' nature. Taken in context, yes, we understand he is Jesus Christ. Christ meaning the anointed one or the Messiah, right? He is God's anointed one, the one who has promised to come and to sit on the throne of King David forever. But that he was the offspring of David tells us that he was a human just like you and just like me. He was the God man. He lived as a human. He suffered as a human. He obeyed as a human. He died as a human. He rose again as a human, victorious over all. This is Jesus. And friends, we look to Jesus, we remember Jesus Christ because we can say he was a human just like us. He went through the same things that we go through in our lives, yet he was without sin, which qualifies him then to serve as the substitutionary sacrifice for our sin on the cross, for us on the cross. And he's able to sympathize with us in our weakness. And he gives grace to the humble. And his grace, his power is perfected in us in our weakness, friends. In Jesus, there are two natures, and they don't outdo each other. They're there. And we can find confidence and hope because he has blazed the trail for us. And we are following him, right? Jesus was filled with the Spirit. And in the same way, if we are in Christ, we are filled with the Spirit, right? Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that this power, this Spirit that was in Jesus is in us. So we walk in truth, and by the power of the Spirit, we endure to the end. So we remember Jesus' nature, but then finally, we don't forget his promises. No, we remember Jesus' promises. Paul says that that Jesus is the subject of his gospel, right? As preached in my gospel, the end of verse 8 there. And what is the gospel? It's the power of God unto salvation. Friend, in your suffering, recall that God's power is at work in you. In fact, Paul has already noted God's power throughout this short letter to his friend, to his young friend, Timothy, calling him to rely on the power of the gospel, to rely on the Spirit of God, to endure, to suffer according to the power of God. And look, God doesn't expect us to accomplish things in our own strength. He doesn't expect us to accomplish things in our own power. He knows that we're dust. He knows that. In the first service, the last several weeks, I've been thinking about newborn babies, not because Amy's pregnant, okay? I'm not starting any rumors here. But just been thinking about newborn babies. And you know, when you have a newborn baby, I don't know the time frame, but after a few weeks, maybe a month or so, the baby is able to actually lift his or her head, right? They just lift it up and parents go crazy. Oh, get the camera. They got the head lifted up. And then a few months later, they start rolling over, right? And then it's, you know, call the grandparents too. Baby's rolling over and all that kind of stuff. But the point is this, a newborn baby is weak, powerless, can't do hardly anything, right? And that's us. Spiritually speaking, that's us in our own strength. No, it's God's power in us that bears fruit, that is useful for other people, right? For his glory. It's how God's at work. So we rely on God. We rely on the Spirit. This is his promise, right? He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. No, he's going to be with us, and he's going to work in and through us. But it's also the promise that's extended to the gospel, right? Paul says that he's in chains. He's bound because he's preached the gospel. But the word of God is not in chains. In other words, it doesn't depend on us. Isaiah 55:11 promises that God's word is sent out. It won't return to him void. It always accomplishes what God intends for it to accomplish. So look, friends, knowing the value of who we live for and the cause for which we serve ought to strengthen our resolve to faithfulness, right? We remember Jesus Christ. God's servants can be silenced and killed, but the gospel will go on because his kingdom is forever. And this is our hope. Church, let's not spend our lives on things that don't matter. Let's not lose our lives trying to befriend the world. Instead, let's remember Jesus Christ and let's live for his glory. I don't know what you're facing right now, but you're facing something. There's something in your life. There's something in your family. There's something in your work. There's something in your world where there's trial and difficulty, sickness, financial struggle, right? Relational distress. There's something. But remember that God is good. And we draw near to Him and we seek Him. And because He died and rose again, if we are in Christ, then we will follow Him in that victory. Remember Jesus Christ. Endure to the end. Friends, as we transition to the Lord's Supper, as we transition to the Lord's Supper this morning, I want you to recall that our service has been ordered in such a way to help us to consider God's majesty and our sinfulness and His grace. We've spent time considering the forgiveness that is found in Christ. We've focused on Jesus and His finished work on the cross, which is the very basis for our salvation. And now, before we together will partake of the Lord's Supper, let's worship again our risen Savior, the one who has made a way across the great divide. If you know this song this morning, that I would encourage you to join in and sing. I would encourage you to worship. And one more word. You should have been given Lord's Supper elements as you entered this morning, but if you don't have any and you intend to partake with us this morning, could you just lift your hand? We have deacons ready to bring some of those down here in the front. Scott, we have a few. We want to get those elements to you. And then finally, the Lord's Supper is an ordinance of the church. It's for those who are following Jesus Christ, who are in Christ by faith. And if you're not in Christ by faith and you happen to take some of those elements, we would encourage you to refrain from taking them. Don't partake with us. For Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that to eat and drink in an unworthy manner is to bring judgment upon yourself. So this is for those who are in Christ, those who are believers in Christ.